Irene and Dan, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Real pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
You've both been on the show before. You're writers that I deeply admire. I like both what you have written is amazing. But you stepped out of your role as writers, and although you do have some pieces in this, you stepped out of your role as writers and you became editors of this just incredible anthology, Iman Niman. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Iman Niman, Poets Writing in the Ansalduan Borderlands. First of all, tell us how this book came about and what is holding this book together.
I'll address the how it came together, and then Dan can do the rest. There was a El Mundo Zurdo conference in May of 2015. It's organized by the Society of the City of Gloria Saldúa. And am I on the right year? Was it 2016? Yeah, no, 2015, yes.
Yep.
Okay, at UT Austin. And I had invited several writers, including Tim Hernandez and Lorian Guerrero and Dan and Denny Perez, to participate in a panel with me, where we would think about the influence of Ansaldúa and of the way that she spoke about the border being an herida abierta, an open wound, to see what we thought about it now and to address it as poets, you know, addressing this idea, and to see in poetic essays, you know, what we were feeling about the situation now. And so we had that panel, and Joan Pinkfoss, the editor of Antloop Books, was present at that panel. And after the panel, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful panel. She asked me, you know, if I'd be interested in thinking about doing an anthology.
Wow.
With these kinds of pieces.
Well, that
and Dan was
that
right
came
there,
from
and I
heaven.
Said, Dan. And, you know, Dan was part of the panel. And
wow.
Right after Joan approached me, I asked Emmy and Dan if they were interested. And then we just jumped right into it.
Wow, that's an incredible story. That doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's almost magic. And this book is just incredible. But just to get some sort of background, I mean, if you're a Latino writer, or if you're just a writer of conscience, a writer, you know, who's aware of what's going on, especially in the borderlands, and you know who is Gloria Ansaldúa. But for possible listeners who maybe not be as familiar with her legacy and with her work, can you just give us Ansaldúa in a nutshell in terms of her work and the influence she's had on language?
Ansaldúa is this remarkable figure that not only wrote and explored certainly kind of literature, but also a cultural theory and queer theory and identity, language. Her work sort of encompasses all these different frames that people, what we found in sort of, you know, exploring her, that she resonates for so many different people in different ways. Not only in issues of physical borders, but the many ways that borders and transgressing borders, you know, are possible. And so what was interesting in that initial panel that Irene called was this conference, which usually deals with more academic and semiotic and, you know, approaches to Ansaldúa. This is this kind of very rare attempt for poets to sort of respond to Ansaldúa's work directly, you know, the influence of her work. And, you know, the books that, you know, are still not only in print, but very much part of the conversation in many communities, Bridge Called My Back, which she edited, and, you know, Borderlands, you know, La Frontera, those, you know, if anything, the experience of editing this anthology was a reminder to us of how, you know, people were submitting work from literally around the world. We had submissions from Europe and, you know, people who exchange with, who resonate with different aspects of Ansaldúa's work. And so it's, you know, her work is still alive, and yet what we had seen was that there had, to this date, not been a poetic exploration of her work, or, you know, a collection that explored her work.
Because most anthologies centered around her work and her influence are academic, scholarly. I was in Oviedo, Spain, a couple of years ago for this giant conference that they have every 2 years on Latino literature in the United States, mostly. They look at Chicano writers, Latino writers, and I went to a panel about Gloria Ansaldúa and had scholars from France, from Germany, and from Spain, and all of them were working on translations of Gloria Ansaldúa's work in their own languages, and they were really finding it challenging on what to do with translating the Spanish that she uses, because she used such a unique border-based Spanish, you know, which really she broke a lot of barriers linguistically. And I'm wondering, as poets, Dan, you have a book called Speaking Weedy Weedy, which I think is a brilliant book of poems. And Irene, your poetry and your prose are just you know, really beautiful what goes on linguistically. I'm wondering what influence she has had on you as writers, and has that influence contributed to the vision that you see in this book and what became this book?
I would say definitely. I mean, for me, I had to go away to school 2,000 miles away from the valley. You know, ironically, I graduated from high school 20 miles away from where she was born and raised.
Wow.
But I had to travel 2,000 miles to find Borderlands and to find her work and to find this bridge called My Back. But I think it not only gave it, or rather her use of border language and border Spanish not only gave it, you know, affirmation and validation, but it's also that she used it in ways that only a poet would use. You know, there was a lot of wordplay. There was a lot of, you know, multiple meanings layered in a very compact space and very few words. Plus also the fact that, well, I mean, one of the things that I think most pushed me with this anthology was that we wanted to have the poets understand her work the way poets would, to understand it in that way. And I think it's one of the things that Dan and I talked a lot about, that, you know, an academic might take several hundred pages to explain something, but it's something that a poet, you know, not only intuits instantly, but that they can leap forward in that understanding.
Right, right. What about you, Dan, in terms of her influence on you and how that might have fueled your love for this book? Because clearly there's a lot of love in this book.
Well, I mean, I came to Antalua, you know, in graduate school, and I remember, for me, it was felt like a homecoming because things just kind of fell into place. You know, someone who was raised really in multiple languages, not only English and Spanish, but the different forms of Spanish. And Antalua, you know, that was her aspect. She not only spoke in English and Spanish, but various dialects of English and Spanish. And she, you know, she affirmed that to do these kind of heavy separations of language was a form of terrorism, that, you know, that being forced to somehow fit into, you know, these specific channels, you speak this proper English or this proper Spanish, you know. So the idea that she could speak, you know, eight different dialects, for me, was kind of this validation and affirmation, and allowed me to sort of explore those aspects of language, you know, the multiple ways that we not only live in language, but dream in language.
Right.
And that was, you know, that was life-affirming, certainly, you know, from an aspect of identity, you know, of actually being and belonging.
Right.
So it was a powerful influence.
And, you know, what's interesting, Irene, you're talking about how you grew up very near her, but you also, Dan, had roots in Hargill. Tell us about Hargill.
Hargill is where Antalua, I think she was 10 or 11 when she moved there, but she actually grew up on a ranch, basically. Her family worked on a ranch, so like no address, but on this ranch, and then moved to this small town of Hargill, north of Edinburgh, Texas. This is down on the Rio Grande Valley. And a few months, about 2 or 3 months before this panel that we've been talking about, I had an opportunity to go down to the valley and read from Weedy Weedy, and took some time out to basically do a pilgrimage of sorts and visit Hargill and visit her grave. She's buried there, and her grave is very much tended by that community. So her memory is sort of definitely lasting. But there was a sense of sort of the, you know, my essay in the anthology is really this exploration of sort of the geographic, the sense of environment and multiple geographies that lived within inside of her. And after I did that little, you know, I paid my pilgrimage to her cemetery. I got into my little rental car and then drove about 20 minutes to the first house I lived in, you know, in Raymondville, Texas, a nearby little town. And so it just, you know, to actually sort of get this aspect of what it meant to actually be in that physical space, again, on the border, and yet even when we use another way in which we sort of simplify language, the border is so multiple.
Yeah.
And, I really had that sense in that time there, not having been back down there in 20-plus years. It really kind of made me wonder about the way in which sort of the land itself, like Neruda says, you know, we write about the land lives inside of us, and we write through the memory of the land. That in many ways, that aspect of the multiple understandings of the geography around us, the lived place, kind of influenced her writing and her understanding of the multiple borders and identities of existence. And that was really powerful.
Yeah, in fact, you used one of my favorite Neruda quotes, you know, like, forgive me, I'm paraphrasing, if when I write about myself, it's the land in which I write. I love that. Let me ask you, this is an anthology, mostly, I guess, poets. How did you get the material together? Did you send out a call or did you just gather it? Or how did you get this, all the different writers, how did you gather them all together?
Mostly it was a really huge call for submissions. You know, we ended up gathering the work of 54 mm-hmm. poets in the anthology, but I want to say we had well over 200 and some
wow.
submissions. So we went through that several times to narrow it down to the pieces that we have in the book.
Oh, that must have been tough.
It was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. But what was really also interesting, you know, we also went and beat some people over the head and told them they needed to submit work. It was really interesting to see how people kind of had... And it was interesting to see how they read the call for submissions, because we really wanted to open it up
right.
and tell people, you know, we're looking at borders in different ways, you know, geographical, political, historical, cultural, sexual, artistically, you know, whichever, spiritually, whatever way you can think of or that you can conceive of borders. And so I think for some people, they were like, it's too free. It's too open. I'm like, well, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to open this up.
Right. Absolutely. You know, what's interesting is you open the book with a poem by Rodney Gomez called Kotliku. And I'm wondering why this book, or why this particular poem opens the book. What was it about this poem that you thought would make a great portal into this experience?
Well, you know, I mean, when we started going through the submissions, our immediate thought was actually how to organize the anthology. And the normal modus operandi is that an anthology is basically done alphabetically.
Right,
by name.
Which I don't really appreciate. I think putting it in some sort of order makes a better book, and that's what you guys did.
Yeah, I mean, we really kind of wanted an anthology that a reader could basically open up at any place.
Right.
You know, for some, you know, the term I was using in a strange way was kind of this, almost like a meditation book, you know, that you could sort of open it up anywhere and get something.
Right.
And so we actually, the element that we started kept coming up in our conversations was this kind of this idea of this sort of snake-like anthology that people could come to again and again. And there was something about Rodney's poem that felt like an invocation, you know,
wow.
sort of like this this entry point. The image on the cover is this really beautiful cenote in Yucatan called Zitnup. And the symbolism of the cover, which was selected by the editors at Antlut, you know, this idea that we're actually sort of entering new dimensions of thought. And Rodney's piece seemed, it felt like that was sort of the invocation, the introduction, the welcoming mm-hmm. of people into this process and the sort of discovery. And that once people read that, they were sort of free to sort of bounce around the anthology
right.
and sort of live with it. You know, maybe not at all one sitting, but to be able to actually nurture oneself mm-hmm. in different parts of it.
Right. It's a very nice poem. And you know what's interesting? I do like the order of the book, and I was going to ask you a little bit about that, but I think you went ahead and answered that. But what's interesting is, as the editors, you chose not to do an introduction. There is an introduction, and it's by Juan Felipe Herrera, and very Juan Felipe Herrera-like. It reads like a poem. I mean, it reads, you know, he's just, I love his language. It's just, it's fun. You know, what he writes, you know, anything he writes to me is just really amazing. But it's not an essay introduction to the poem. And you chose not to do introductions, yet both of you did a personal essay. Dan, yours is kind of a hybrid of essay and poem, and Irene, yours is about the personal experience of writing. And I'm wondering why you decided, instead of writing an introduction that would maybe lead the reader in a particular thematic direction, why you decided to go without it.
The simple answer is that it was too crazy. The second answer is that, I don't know, the more that we do, actually, we did try to work on one, but it seemed so inadequate to the task.
All right.
And in the end, actually, I'm really glad that we didn't.
Yeah.
Because I think that's part of keeping it open. That's part of keeping this dialogue wide open, of trying not to tell people how to think about this or how to accept it, how to read it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say, or mediate it in some
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I just wanted to add that, you know, adding to the dreamlike nature of how this book came together, Juan Felipe's introduction, you know, I'm here in Washington, D.C., and of course, we've been delighted, the whole country has been delighted by his serving as the poet laureate. And last spring, April, I think in 2016, at his closing lecture of his first term of his poet laureateship, he did this amazing floricanto, you know, kind of reading of all of his influences. Very biographical.
Sweet.
It was very powerful.
Wow.
And I was sitting in that, you know, completely packed auditorium at the Library of Congress, and he was going through what was, you know, a primer, an anthology reading of sorts of, like, the important Chicano and Latino literary landscape of the last, you know, 50 years. So, you know, I'm sort of sitting there sort of in the darkness enjoying all of this, and as he would get to a new person, the person's face would be, you know, projected behind him. And all of a sudden, Gloria Anzaldúa's face came up on the screen. And he started speaking about the importance of Anzaldúa and how transformative her work had been in his life. And I remember just sitting there thinking, you know, I've lived in D.C. for, you know, since 2001. I never thought I'd ever see Gloria Anzaldúa's face at the Library of Congress, you know. And I just thought, it was just this incredible, powerful moment as, you know, Irene and I were in the midst of sort of doing this anthology. And that's when we knew, you know, we had to approach him to do this introduction. And, you know, the other part of that, the answer to Irene's answer is that his introduction was this, you know, this amazing kind of, again, you know, another incantation.
Right.
An incantation to the energy of the anthology itself. And so it all kind of came together in a really beautiful way.
You know, that man never ceases to amaze me what comes out of his mouth and out of his pen. He's been on the show probably more than anybody. And one time, the first time we had him on the show, Ben Sines and I put him on the spot. He says, Juan, you're really good at freestyling. You can get up and just start talking and beautiful things happen. I said, will you freestyle a poem? And he paused and he did one and it was amazing.
Yeah. I honestly think he's, you know, history will show that aside from just kind of the importance, you know, first Latino poet laureate, you know, he is going to be, he's going to go down as one of the most significant poet laureates
that
this country has ever had.
I mean, the impact he's had
just in his 2 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just amazing. And that, you know, we could have him sort of introduce this anthology just felt right on so many levels.
Just one little note to that as far as the introduction. I mean, I think in many ways, that you know, the reason that we didn't need an introductory essay and that Juan Felipe Herrera's piece worked so well, you know, we keep coming back to invocation and incantation. And that's a, you know, there's a deeply spiritual element to this book. It's deeply informed by spirit and by connection to the divine. And, you know, and that's something that Gloria Anzaldúa worked on a lot, the whole connection to between writing, between art and curanderismo, between art and healing.
Right.
You know, and that I think is very present here. And I also want to point out the other poem that Dan also chose to finish the piece, Kim Shuck's piece, again speaks to God, to the divine, and imagining that.
Right.
Which I thought was an excellent closing note to invite people to imagine, you know, broader and wider and more generously.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. The book is Imanimam, Poets Writing in the Anzaldúan Borderlands, and the editors and contributors are Irene Lara Silva and Dan Vera. Irene and Dan, thank you so much for joining us on Words on a Wire. I just think this book is a great gift. Thank you for putting it together.
Daniel, can I add one last thing?
Absolutely.
Anzaldúa would have been 75 years old this upcoming September, and it seems fitting that this anthology is here, and her work is still very alive, and it's a way of celebrating her work this year.
Excellent. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. And
thank you.
We wish you the best on this book.